Now, of course, Mendel was working with mutations he found in the existing population. He wasn't dealing with changes, with new varieties. He was dealing with conditions that were already in existence. Tallness or shortness in the pea plants were already in the basis. You could see how existing genetic difference could lead to evolution from using Mendel's work. What mutation theorists add is that they extrapolated on Mendel's process to the situation of a genetic mutation or genetic variation, where a change occurs, and so an offspring has a new inherited difference. They postulated, using Mendelian type logic, they postulated that mutations would not be lost through continuous blending. And if you had a variation that was beneficial to survival, that variation could spread throughout the population. The question was, could they show it? Could they prove it? So they looked around, breeding different species to see if they could happen upon a natural chance variation, and then see if that natural chance variation would be propagated in a Mendelian way. Because if it could be propagated in a Mendelian way, it would be a basis for that evolution to occur, that change to occur, and then be passed on to other generations, and if it was beneficial, spread throughout a population and create the evolution of species, the origin of species, as it were. This came after a variety of scientists working various different places. This breakthrough came in 1910 when studying fruit flies, which are wonderful things to study because they have, unlike pea plants or unlike people, they have lots of generations. They don't live very long, and you can follow a generation, say, in 10 days, and so you can see new generations, and easily study them over time. The American genetics pioneer, one of the truly great scientists of the 20th century, Thomas Hunt Morgan, became the first to observe a spontaneous mutation. In his case, it was a red-eyed fruit fly. Fruit fly just was born with red eyes. And he was able to observe that mutation and watch it spread throughout a breeding population in a Mendelian fashion. The percentages worked out for a mutation as well as an existing variation that was all genetic variation that was already inside the population. His research team later found out that mutations like red eyes and fruit flies or extra wings or other mutations could be induced by exposure to radiation or exposure to chemicals. This was important because it suggested a source for accelerated variations, and therefore speeding up evolution. Say the Earth's protective layers were changed and more radiation came through for the sun, or there was a sunspot that created extra radiation, or there was a volcano that spewed forth chemicals. You could have times of accelerated mutation, accelerated genetic variation, and that could speed up the evolutionary process. And of course, back then they were concerned of how to make, and they still are, how to make the actual evolution that we see fit the fossil record and fit the time available. With time, geneticists grew to appreciate that this natural process for propagating beneficial gross mutations could also work to propagate minor, tiny, small, almost seemingly continuous variations. Morgan and other Mendelians initially saw mutation alone without natural selection as a source of new species, with natural selection acting only within the normal range of genetic variations of existing species. Although Mendelian geneticists at first operated in isolation from Darwinian naturalists, their ideas would come together to form the neo-Darwinian synthesis of the 1930s. But that synthesis deserves a lecture all of itself.